courteous. Of being courteous. Probably the best idea of that, the word itself has the idea of being humble-minded or having a modest opinion of oneself. And what other best that would be a best corollary than that for Philippians 2, where he says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, how are we to view the other people? Better than ourselves, right? Let each of you not only..." Again, you don't have to not ever mow your yard or do any shopping. You can look out for your own interest, but not just your own interest, but also on the interests of others. That's that idea of being courteous, of having a low opinion of self. For example, why do we hold the door to someone rather than rushing in ahead of them? Why do we let somebody else in the traffic ahead of us rather than getting 8 feet further ahead of them at the red light? Because we, again, esteem others better. We have a modest opinion of oneself. Except here will be one that we'll see here with the first of the month. Are we going to trample all the old ladies and children to get to the front of the line for the food? Or are we going to have a modest opinion of ourselves and let others go through? Besides, it's always better to go last anyway. Because if you go first, by the way, you do make sure you take small amounts so there's enough for everybody else, right? But if you're last in line, just load it up, man. I just load it up. Now, the first in line have to be cautious and considerate of those who follow. But if I'm last, man, just pile it up. Everybody had their opportunity. Courteous, a modest opinions of oneself. Now, by the way, we don't believe that the Bible is a bunch of disjuncted sermons similar to what you hear on Sunday. But as he's giving us these guidelines as we're kind of going through there, oh my goodness, I just noticed really the time. As you look through that, this is all part of the same unit. We don't really get a new paragraph till we get down to verse 13. So if we're going to want the good life, we're going to have to do what's on the back of the bulletin or in your Bible or up on the screen here. You just can't jump down to verse 10 and say, "Yeah, God, give me the good life," if we're not doing the preceding verses as well. So let's just go, I'll go a little bit quicker here. And guideline number 5 there, we can't return evil for evil. That's verse 9. We cannot return evil for evil. Evil has the idea of the bad, the harsh, the harmful. Romans 13 very clearly tells us that love does no harm to his neighbor. It is absolutely imperative. If you are not going to be like Marcia and Scott, if you're not going to be like the parent of this 13-year-old girl, if you return evil for evil, then you will also end up with it. My dad is kind of not have many emotions except anger and hate. If you return evil for evil, and you just continue as husband and wife or co-worker or neighbor, just continue to return evil for evil, you're going to have a 13-year-old girl that really doesn't know what to do in life. And that horrible, and you can just picture that home environment that they're living in and what all that sounds like. And it's just an ugly place. We cannot return reviling for reviling. And this is kind of where we stopped last week. But, you know, someone just disrespects you. And that's the big word today. You have to respect me. And we're all bent on that. And we got to make sure that people respect us. Well, you know what? The Bible says if someone does not respect you and they insult you or they disrespect you, you can't return that back. If someone is disrespectful to you, you need to be respectful to them. It goes on even more than that. But rather, as you go a little bit further there in verse 9, you're to return a blessing. And again, sometimes our minds just blink out on this because we've never seen it done. We have no idea what that sounds like. We've never done it. But if someone is in your face disrespecting you, according to verse 9, you need to be speaking well of them. You need to be saying nice things back to them. You need to be loving your enemy. You need to be praying for them. You need to be, well, like Luke or Matthew would say, bless those who persecute you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. We need to be returning the blessing. We need to, as Romans says there in 13, If your enemy is hungry, what do you do to him? And if he's thirsty, and if he's disrespecting you, maybe you ought to do both. Now, again, we think that through and you go, yeah, right. Well, I'm telling you, on the authority of this passage, if you want the good life, if you want to see long days and good days and love life, you need to do it. Because otherwise, you're not going to experience the life that God has for you. We need to then gird up the loins of our mind. And this is, again, very, very important with this idea of knowing that you were called to this. And this is the second time now Peter has said we need to gird up the loins of our mind. He said that earlier in chapter 1, verse 13. We, again, if we're going to gird up the loins of our mind and do what he's telling us here in 8, 9, so we can have verse 10, we have to remember that we are strangers. We are aliens. We are foreigners. We all really got into that song when we sang it that one time. This world is not my home. But there's a fundamental bedrock that we need to be standing on that we operate from life. This world is not my home. I am a chosen generation. As 2:9 says, as 2:21 says, we have been called to this. And again, this, I think, is what he's saying here, is what he's just telling us. We have been called to this. And then there's the purpose, and that word there, that, in the bottom of verse 9, that's one of those hina. It's a purpose, resulting, condition, clauses. You could also translate it, in order that you may inherit a blessing. If we want to have good life, you know, it's not like, you know, God, I'll come to church and do my church thing, and then the rest of the week, we will just literally, in my conduct, set the Bible on the church, and we'll just return evil for evil and cursing for cursing. And if she calls me a name, I'll call her a worse name. Or if he doesn't do it, or if he forgets, or he does it again, then that gives me license to sin because his sin will still be greater than my sin. So I can return evil for evil. And we play all those games and we look at some of these real life scenarios. You just can't have it both ways. You just can't have it both ways. The blessing. The blessing. Let me show you the blessing that he's referring to, and I want you to read it in Psalm 34, and then I got a couple other ideas of what this blessing is. Go to Psalm 34, back up about halfway through your Bibles. Psalm 34, if you haven't found it, that's okay. Let me just read some of it. I'll read most of it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Hey, doesn't that sound like the good life? Man, yes. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 12. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? And then he starts listing the qualifications. If you want to see good, this is what you have to do. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And this is so profound, verse 13. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to his cry. That is tremendous good news. But notice what else it says, though. Verse 16. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That is not so good. Let me show you what this blessing is. Go back to Joshua 21. Joshua 21. Joshua 21. Beginning in verse 1. Well, I'm sorry, 23. What am I saying? That doesn't matter. I'm pushed for time. My mind's going goofy. All right, 23. Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua's old, advanced in age, and Joshua called all the Israel for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I'm old, advanced in years. Now this is important. You have seen all the Lord your God has done, all these nations, because of you. For the Lord your God is He who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot those nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from the Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess the land as your Lord has promised. Therefore, that's one of those key grammatical words. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right or to the left. And lest you go among those nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done this day, for the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you this day because of your God. That is the blessing that we have. Let's back up just one more book. I can't read all this, but go to Deuteronomy 28. And here's just one thing I want you to notice. The first 19 verses are all good news. And then you have to see how many more verses there are in Deuteronomy 28 and figure out what the content of those remaining verses are. But notice what Moses is saying here in Deuteronomy 28. And where should we jump down? Let's just jump down to verse 4. If we obey God and we do what God tells us to do, then blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and all the offspring of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall be you when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you in seven ways. And he goes on and he just develops all of that. And as you get down to verse 15, he says, but it shall come to pass that if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, verse 15 of 28, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then you can basically read the whole rest of the chapter, and the rest of it is bad news. All I'm here trying to say is, as we go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, that if we will do what God asks us to do, He will bless us in ways that is even hard to imagine. Let me just give you one quick personal example as you're turning back to 1 Peter, because I do want to finish this up, and I only have just a half a page of notes, so we won't be too late. The blessing of God comes in many ways, and you may even argue that this isn't a blessing, but, you know, that's okay too. But, you know, being gone for a few weeks and not able to use the wood a lot, we ran out of our first tank of oil on Friday. And I didn't really pay any attention. We just fill it ourselves with who's ever the cheapest, and we ran out of oil on Friday. Now, Friday was a beautiful, warm, sunny day. And I never really even realized we didn't have any heat till like later Friday afternoon. I'm going, hey, it's getting kind of chilly in the house here. So anyway, it was a beautiful, warm day. Saturday, we were gone most of the day. Called the fuel oil guy who had cheap oil. I guess 304 or 5 is cheap oil, I guess. Kind of sad to put $800-$900 in a fuel oil tank. But in any event, but the beauty of it is, what happens if it would have been a couple weeks ago? When we're down into the teens and freezing cold, and what happens if it would have been like yesterday, and who delivers oil on Sunday? Ran out, called Saturday, Friday, They came, filled it up yesterday. We had a nice hot shower this morning. In my mind, those are blessings because that fuel oil could have ran out whenever. It could have ran out when I was in Uruguay. But God, He does just so many ways that if we will but humbly and feebly and fickly sometimes try to obey Him, God blesses us in just tremendous ways. In chapter 3 now, look at verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11, He restates these guidelines. And He says, don't say anything evil. This word evil, we're not talking about pedophiles. We're talking about the same evil in verse 9 of just returning evil for evil. Don't say anything deceitful, He says there in verse 10. The falsehood, the trickery, you know, the veiled communications. He goes on a little bit further there. We are to turn away from evil in verse 11. Don't engage in it. Stay away from it. Run from it. Put the filters on this internet. Have your wife block out the channels on the cable. Stay away from it. Don't go near it if you want the good life. You know, sin is pleasurable for a season, and we're not stupid not to know that. But the seasons are changing, and we're all thanking God for that. We can't wait for spring. And sin will be pleasurable for a season, but that will change too. But if you want the good life, you need to not engage in evil. You cannot repay back evil with evil. Rather, you need to work hard to get and to keep peace. Verse 12, again, he kind of restates the blessing one more time. God sees the righteous. And again, you know, sometimes when people say that, you know, God seems so distant and, you know, I'm all alone in this thing and nobody understands. Well, that tells us a lot. But one of it is that they really don't have the relationship or the belief or the confidence in the Bible because the Lord's eyes are upon the righteous. He's right there looking out for us, man. You want somebody in your corner? You could not get a bigger ally in your corner. If you want someone to yoke up with, if you want someone to cover your flanks, if you want a wingman, there's no one better than God. In this struggle, God's eyes are upon the righteous, and it's not just like me. Because sometimes I see some of you going through the hardships of life, and I've got them there on my prayer sheet just like you do. But oftentimes there's not much I can do. I don't have a degree in medicine. I can't get prescriptions. I can't order stuff. I can't give you money. Not a whole lot I can do. But notice what the verse says there in verse 13. But God's ears are open. You know, one of the first occurrences where we can really see the heart of God to His people is back with Moses. The calling of Moses. God says, I've seen the affliction of my people. I've heard them. And now, Moses, I want to respond. And that's the same it is all the time. God sees and God hears and God responds to those who are righteous. Define righteous. Well, I would say back up in verse 9, verse 8. Those who are doing what God asks you to do are the righteous ones. Those who are right living. Doing what God would want us to do. And He is there for you. The timeless reality in the bottom of verse 12, though, is God is still not a big fan, quote unquote, of sin. God is not passive towards those who do evil. He is actively against those who are doing evil. And again, this word for evil, back up in verse 9 and down 10, 11, and 12, it's not the pedophilers. It's the evil words. It's those who do the evil. It's those who are returning evil for evil. We are to flee the evil. So all just the sinful stuff, God is against them. God is against the evil in verse 9. God is against the evil in verse 10. There's that timeless reality. You know, we can go on and just continue to go through with these various scenarios. Here, let me just finish up with this girl and then I'll give you some. You can write your own application. She goes on here and she says, I don't really see how I can ignore them. This is a 13-year-old girl. Because whenever they fight, I am somehow magically brought into it. Like today. My dad was saying how my grades weren't good enough, although I'm an A-minus, B-plus student in school. Then he goes to the dishes aren't washed. It's ridiculous. I moved out once to my sister's house. Things got a little better. so I can't think it's somehow my fault. But when I came back, they started fighting a lot again. That's not unknown to Lower Bucks County. And that is just, again, the violation of what God's Word says here in chapter 3, and specifically in the role of relationships. If we will do what God tells us to do, our lives will be able to experience the blessing of God, the good life that God is offering us to there in verse 10, as He did in Judges and as He did in Joshua. So the conclusion and application on my notes, I will read it to you. Today, you write your own application. Today, you make your own conclusion. Bring it with you tonight, 6 o'clock for our growth groups, and we can further discuss this. Kind of anticlimactic, I know, but seriously, you write your own conclusion. You write your own application. As we were going through these various guidelines, God brought up an incident, God brought up some memory, God kind of stepped on you pretty hard. Do something about it. You have nothing to lose. The good life is there for you if you want it. Heads bowed.